Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. It's the story of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. You may be seated.
I invite you to bow your heads with me again. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can reflect back on these events that took place so long ago, and that we can learn from them. We can learn from the woman, we can learn from you, and Lord, we can apply these truths to our life even now. And so we pray that you would prepare us to receive what you have for us. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, Lord. Just enable us to receive the blessing you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've heard several times recently, at least it's kind of the direction I've been going in recent weeks. But people today, people right now where we find ourselves, are desperately in need of hope. And when I say this, when I say that people are desperately in need of hope, I'm not only talking about those other people, those people outside of the walls of the church or any of the churches in town here this morning. I'm talking also about us. And we need this hope because as we live in this world, we face a constant barrage of struggles and they leave us feeling absolutely helpless. We face a constant stream of troubles that leave us feeling without hope. And as we seek help in the face of these problems that we face, our tendency is to look anywhere and everywhere. In our society today, we have a tendency to look with hope to many different sources. And we do so not certain if any one of them will provide the blessing that we need, just hoping that they might. It's similar to that strategy we've heard about of, you know, throwing everything at the wall and just hoping that something will stick. And there are the everyday examples of this that we see all around us. You know, we all face periods where perhaps we are struggling with illness or a loved one is struggling with illness. And we naturally, in times like these, seek the help of doctors whom we believe may be able to help us, of course, depending upon our circumstances. Being a believer, we might come to our fellow church members and ask them to pray for us, thinking that maybe God will do something. Maybe he'll intervene on our behalf. But we also tend to go other places. We also tend to look elsewhere for help. We look to other sources of hope. For many people, even if we tend to be skeptical of their practices, we might look to naturalistic healers, right? And try to make use of those remedies. Some people might go off the other direction, and they may obtain charms or amulets or potions from somebody who practices spiritism, or dare we say, witchcraft, even though that word is not popular today. We might send money to a faith healer that we've seen on TV, just asking that this person would pray for us in hope that, you know, his prayers might attain for us the blessing that we need. Even if we aren't Catholic, we might turn to one of the patron saints, one of the patron saints of healing, right? And offer up our prayers to him or to her, hoping that they might be able to help. We may turn to extreme dieting and exercise, hoping that this might promote healing. We try anything. We try everything that we run across. We look to anyone and everyone who we think may be able to help us, or who even claims that they may be able to help us. And then there are the unusual examples of this. There was one of the churches in which I was serving. I received a call from a family that had very loose ties to the church. I mean, very loose ties. It was one of those families who, they had been members on paper forever, but they hadn't been to church in years. In fact, I had never even met them personally. But they had some very strange things happening in their home. They had things happening in their home that most people would attribute to a haunted house. Being Christians, we would ascribe these things to demonic activity. And again, these people, mind you, they were professing Christians, yet even though this was true, they didn't look to the Lord or to the church when these things began happening. They instead decided to call in a Native American medicine man. And so he came into their home and he performed his ceremony, assuring them that it would resolve the problem. But after he left, things only got worse. And it was only then that one member of the family called me. And even though they did call me to consult with me, I was never welcomed into their home. Now, I don't need to go too far into this story, but I think you see the point. They had a problem, yet they looked not to the Lord for help. They looked not to the Lord for hope. Instead, they looked elsewhere. They looked first and foremost to someone else. But as believers in Jesus, we must realize where our hope is found. We must realize the source of all blessing, and we must look to him, and we must trust in him without wavering, and we must do so no matter how things may seem outwardly. And I believe that this is what we see as we look at the lesson that Shane read for us here this morning. And this is a passage of Scripture that I find quite fascinating, and I find it fascinating because of Jesus' response to this woman who came to him for help. And this passage is difficult because as we look at it, as we read about what took place, Jesus' attitude, it seems to contradict most of what we know and most of what we believe about him. It's difficult because his response contradicts what we tend to think is true of him. In fact, it seems rather harsh. It seems uncaring on his part. It seems completely unloving. But we see in this passage that Jesus, he was going into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And looking at the map, and I know it's kind of hard to see, but way up here in the north is Tyre and Sidon. And they are outside of the area of Judah. And so naturally, they were not populated by Jews. They were populated by Gentiles. This is the area that presently we would refer to as Lebanon. But this woman, she came out to Jesus. She came out to Jesus seeking his help and asking for his mercy. And the reason for this we see right here in verse 22. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now, we have no idea of what this woman had done prior. We have no idea if she had sought help from other sources and had been unable to obtain it. However, it's clear from her request, it's clear from the way that she addressed Jesus, that she understood his identity. She understood that he is the Savior who had been sent by God into the world, and we can see this in her use of the phrase, "Son of David." Now, this is a phrase that was used commonly as a reference to the Christ, and it was used in this way because the Scriptures had foretold that the Christ, that the Savior, would be born of the house of David, that he would be born of the line of David. And so we learn from this that this woman believed and she understood Jesus to be the fulfillment of these prophecies. Now, how she understood this, we don't know. As I mentioned, she wasn't a Jew, and so it's not likely that she would have been raised with the same beliefs and expectations as the Jewish people. However, there were Jewish communities in many parts of the known world of that day. So maybe there was one in her own community. This woman also lived relatively close to the Jews, as we saw on that map. She wasn't far from where the Jews tended to live. And it's also true that the message of Jesus was spreading rapidly throughout that entire region. And so it's safe to assume that she had had some interaction with the Jews. It's possible that she had some familiarity with Jewish beliefs and teachings. And again, it's possible that she had also heard the direct accounts of Jesus and what he had been teaching and what he had been doing. Now, as we read through the Gospels, we see that when Jesus received a request like this, whenever he received a request for help or whenever he received a request for healing, he would typically stop. He didn't ordinarily refuse. In fact, we see in the Gospels how even in those times when he was tired and he was in need of rest, even in those times where he was trying to get away by himself just for a little while, he would lay aside his own interests that he might minister to those who had need. And I think this is why his lack of response in this story catches us completely off guard. It seems to go completely against his character. But we're told that when this woman came to him and when she made this request, Jesus did not answer her a word. And so again, this whole scenario, it seems rather out of place. We have Jesus walking along with his disciples. We have this woman who is crying out after him, and he just completely ignores her and continues on his way. And as we read that, it seems to us very cold. It seems very uncaring. And this is especially true knowing what we know about Jesus, isn't it? This is especially true knowing that he did have the power to help. He had the power to heal. This is especially true considering that he is the Son of God. Because he is God, because he has the ability to help, and because he had willingly helped so many others, it just doesn't add up. However, when he ignored her, this woman, she didn't simply turn away, as we so often do. She didn't give up, as is our tendency. We see that she was persistent, and we see that she continued to cry out to Jesus. Now, apparently, again, just trying to envision this whole scenario, it was rather irritating to the disciples. It was grating on them as they were traveling along with Jesus, and again, he's ignoring her. This woman just keeps crying out and crying out and crying out. And so finally, they urge Jesus to get rid of her. They said to Jesus, "Send her away because she's crying out after us." So Jesus finally spoke up, and he finally responded to this woman. But his answer, once again, it differs from our expectations of him. It differs from our knowledge of him and who he is and how he tends to behave. And when he finally broke his silence, here's what he said. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, this statement, it gets rather confusing even to most of us. And it's confusing because we know from Scripture that Jesus did not come into the world for only one race of people. We know that Jesus did not come only into the world for the Jews. We know from Scripture that he desires the salvation of all people. We know that he gave his life not for the sins of some, but for the sins of all mankind. And we know that after his resurrection, he sent out his followers, instructing them to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, telling them to make disciples of all nations. And so why would Jesus say this? Why would he tell the woman that he was sent only to the people of Israel? Now, as we consider these words of Jesus, we do have to remember that the people of Israel were indeed God's chosen people. God had chosen them from among the peoples of the world, and he had chosen them to bring God's blessing into the world. However, even though this blessing was to be for all people, it started with them. It started with the Jews. We see the same idea in Romans chapter 1, And in verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the gospel, it came first to the Jews, and this makes perfect sense. They had been called by God. These are the people who had been entrusted with the word of God, and it was from them that the Savior was born into the world. So at this point in time, as Jesus was physically ministering upon the earth, he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. While he was on earth, God's purpose was that Jesus might draw the lost of Israel back to himself. And it was later, after his death and resurrection, after he had made the necessary sacrifice for the sins of the world, that Jesus called his disciples to go to all nations. And this remained true in spite of the fact that Jesus, yes, he did interact with the Gentiles. It remains true in spite of the fact that he had even performed some miracles on behalf of Gentiles. At this point, again, he had been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oops, there we go. However, in spite of this statement, which seems to be a clear denial of her request, he seems to be shutting her down. He seems to be turning her away. This woman comes and she kneels before Jesus. She takes a posture of humility, and once again she asks Jesus to help her. Now, his answer to her at this point, it seems plain mean. As we read it, it comes across as even crueler than simply ignoring her or denying the request that she was laying before him. And it seems mean because, again, here is what he said. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So again, this statement, it does not seem to fit that loving nature of Jesus that most of us cling to. So what is it that Jesus is saying here? On the surface, it seems to be a great insult. It seems that not only is he saying no, not only is he denying her request, but he's referring to her as a dog. However, in saying this, Jesus, he's not intending to throw out insults. First of all, he's drawing a comparison that she might understand his purpose. Just as you wouldn't take the food that you prepared for your children and feed it to the dogs, neither was it right to take the blessing intended for Israel and give it to others. It wasn't right to give to others a blessing of which they were undeserving and of which they were unworthy. And based on her response, it seems that she understood what he was saying to her. Now, had we been there, I think it's safe to say this is how I would have felt had I been there, we probably would have felt rather insulted, wouldn't we? A sense of pride may have welled up within us. And this might have caused us to respond to Jesus in a way that was less than respectful. We might also have objected to Jesus' statement regarding his purpose, regarding the mission for which he had been sent into the world. We might have complained that he ought to offer his blessing to everyone. We might have said that it's not fair that he had been sent only to the people of Israel. But look at the response of the woman. In verse 27, she answers, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." So instead of feeling insulted, and instead of trying to object to Jesus' stated purpose, this woman acknowledges what he says. She accepts it without question. Yet, even knowing that he had been sent to the Jews, she didn't give up. She continued to seek his help. She asked that she might receive not the bread intended for the people of Israel, but merely the crumbs, merely the little pieces that fall off the table while the meal is being received. She asked for those leftover bits after Israel had received her fill, after she had received everything that was intended for her. And what an amazing statement this was, and what an amazing request for help. And this led Jesus to praise this woman. It led him to praise her faith. He said that her faith was great, and at this point, he healed her daughter. he said that it would be done for her as she had desired. So this raises the question, what is it about this woman? What is it about her faith that caused Jesus to take notice? She clearly had a need. Her daughter was oppressed by a demon, and being a parent in a situation like that, who wouldn't want to have this demon removed from the life of their child? She also did the right thing in coming to Jesus. I think we can all see that. As we saw, she understood who Jesus is. She believed that he had the power to help her. Otherwise, there would have been no purpose in her coming. There would have been no reason for her to continually cry out after him. The thing that stands out as we read about this woman and as we observe her interaction with Jesus is her persistence. The thing that stands out is that she looked to him and she looked only to him for the blessing that she needed. She looked to him and only to him for that help that was necessary. When Jesus seemed to be ignoring her, when he seemed to be refusing her, she didn't go away disheartened. She continued looking to him. She persistently pleaded with him, knowing who he is, knowing what he could do. She was not going to turn away. She was not going to look anywhere else. And again, most of us, had we been there, quite honestly, we may have turned elsewhere, right? Even if we held on to even the slightest hope that Jesus might yet help us, we would have gone off and searched for blessing that might be received anywhere and everywhere else. We wouldn't sit around and wait. We wouldn't sit around and hope. We wouldn't remain there and plead with him as this woman did. However, what we learn from this account is that we must respond in the same way as the Canaanite woman. Knowing who Jesus is, we must not give up. Knowing that he has the power to help, we must not turn away. We must not go off in other directions looking for others who might help. We must remain, and we must continue seeking Christ and him alone for the blessing that we need. And we must do so realizing that Jesus is our only hope. He is our only source of blessing. He is the only one to whom we can turn. Now, as I say this, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that, you know, if you're sick, you should avoid the doctor. Not telling you that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to take medicine or to receive surgery or to receive other therapies that are available to us. But we must understand this for what it is. It's a gift of God that is given to us. Doctors, along with their wisdom and skill, that is a gift of God. Medicines, they are a gift of God. The therapies that are available to us are a gift of God. And so even though we make use of them, we don't depend upon them. We don't depend upon the people behind them. We depend upon the source of our blessing. We look to Jesus. That being said, we cannot and we must not make use of other religions or their practices. We should not look for help to man, whether they're alive, whether they're dead, doesn't matter. No matter how greatly they're revered, we cannot and we must not make use of spiritism, of witchcraft. Even though these practices, they have become more and more commonplace in our society today, we must never believe them to be acceptable. They are forbidden by God, who wants us to look to him alone. Now, I realize that questions, they do sometimes plague our hearts. We ask why our prayers seem to go unanswered, right? We ask why he seems to make us wait and wait and wait for the blessing that we need. And these, honestly, they're questions that I cannot answer. They're questions that no one can answer. They're questions that no one can answer because we do not know the mind of God. But we do know. And this is what we are assured of in Scripture, is that Jesus will indeed meet our needs. We know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he will answer our prayers. And we know this because of the promise that he has given to us in his word. We see one example of this in Matthew 7, and there are many, but starting in verse 7, I think this one is familiar to most of you. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We see in these words that Jesus promises to answer our prayers. We see that it's not just a possibility, right? We see that it's a certainty. And not only that, but he promises to do so in the best way imaginable. After all, he tells us, we provide good things for our children, right? We seek to provide for our children those things that will satisfy their needs. We would never intentionally give to them anything that would harm them. And if this is true of us, even though we are sinful, then how much more is this true of God? So we can then confidently come to him. We can confidently plead with him. And even when it seems that our prayers are going unheard, even when it may feel as though God has denied the request that we have presented to him, we can and we should continue looking to him and pleading with him for the help that we need. Just like the Canaanite woman, we must come to Jesus for help. When it seems he's ignoring us, we must continue to ask for his blessing. When he seems to be denying us, we must continue looking only to him for the satisfaction of our needs. We must continue to trust that no matter how it may seem, he is our best interest at heart. And as we just heard, he will answer our prayers. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this assurance that we find in your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, because, again, we all face so many problems and trials in this life. And this year in particular, they seem to be more abundant than ever. And we pray that you would work within us. We pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would look to you and only to you for the blessings that we need. If we stray, Lord, if we start depending on other sources or looking to them with hope, we pray that you would convict us by your word and spirit and draw us back to yourself. Again, Lord, may we know and may we believe that Jesus is our only hope. And we ask this in his name.